No gavel.
Need a gavel?
Okay, I'd like to call the Maricopa School District special meeting of November 22nd to order. And do we have any public comments? No public comments, okay. Item two is workshop on the recreational trails policy. And do we want to hear from Tim first or from the committee recommendation first? What would you prefer?
I'd say Tim first, and then you can come back to me.
That sounds good.
Great, thank you. So the district has a recreational trails policy, and we're working to update it with the policy committee. The committee met twice and made some additions and revisions to the policy. And then David reviewed it and made a couple additional clarifications and corrections in the policy. At our November meeting, we had this on the agenda, and it was suggested that maybe we have a work group workshop format look at this so we can have a nice public process where we can all roll up our sleeves and propose some ideas. Steve, you made some really good suggestions in that meeting. We didn't add them to the policy for the draft that you're looking at right now. We thought maybe we could jot them down on the whiteboard, you know, capture the types of elements that you want to add to the policy, and then we can actually sit at the laptop and insert the language that the group agrees to, and we can all see it take place on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first thing we want to do, Malene, is maybe on the whiteboard we'll try to capture some of the elements that Steve wanted to put in. Do you remember what they were from? We went over the audio.
Maybe Steve remembers what his input was.
We had to go over the audio too, because there was a lot of really good stuff in there. So maybe Malene can put that down. Meeting with the
GM.
Okay, so we want the applicant to meet with the GM and clarify what we expect. Or the timing of that meeting with the GM, or what type of information is supposed to be conveyed prior to submitting this variance request to us. Mm-hmm. And basically all your comments were about if the applicant thinks that they need a variance from our policy, where they think that they can't put it the trail off the crown, and so they want a variance to our stipulation that it must be off the crown, these are the types of things that they need to produce or include in their project development. So that they should produce engineered drawings. What else you got there?
Specificity for the estimates.
Cost estimates?
He just said level of estimates.
I think that was, we were talking about cost estimates at that time. Well, while she continues to write, I'll just quickly, myself and Tamika, when we met to go over this, we did add stuff after our past experience to make sure that we really capture what the point of this trail policy is, so more clear to people so they understand what we need, what the expectations are, so that way we don't have to have tons of meetings, and we're able to maybe do it in more succinct process. And I know we had talked about, creating possibly a detailed application, but then we weren't really sure if that's how the board wanted to go. But then after our meeting, it seems more that we want to have more details in there for things. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I on that point on the application, I pulled up the City of Sacramento's 18-page planning entitlement application form.
So fun to fill out.
Nice.
Which I know Brian is probably very, very familiar with it. But I think it's a really nice format. I mean, it's very long. It's meant for multiple different entitlements. But I think it would be a very good model for trying to identify what we want to see and what's helpful to make the decision. And I think that the city is probably one of the agencies that most likely be looking to build trails under the crown of the levee. And clearly, if the city feels that this is something that its business owners and residents should use, that they should also be using it when they come to us. So I think that that's a very reasonable ask for us to make.
Mm-hmm.
But it does a very, really nice job talking about, an application and having a project narrative and having photographs and the plans. And I think that we could specify that you know, the plans should show the width of the crown of the levee and the width of your proposed improvements, and both off, you know, the width of the levee toe or the landside toe, whatever. But I think we can kind of specify, like, what do we want to see? And that would make our decisions much easier to make, or at least the consideration of it. So that, you know, I think is helpful. And, you know, and then for the elements. And that's something I think we can work on, you know, what information do we need to have. The public meeting part of it, I think it's important to really identify where, you know, where you have to have a public meeting, or meetings, depending on what the project is. Who gets to get noticed? How do they get noticed? Things like that. I think it's generally sort of the process. The only other thing I'd add is that that we didn't talk about last time is if, but we came up with the Twin Rivers Trail, is that if there is a notice that goes out to the neighbors or adjacent landowners before we take action, what's the scope of that noticing and who pays for that?
Yeah, I agree. I think all of that's like things that we could really use, and I think making an application that does have steps so people can follow it will make it easier for us too, so we're not constantly taking up tons of time. Hopefully maybe it'll save someone time.
And everybody's treated fair.
Yeah, and everyone knows what they're getting going into it.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask a legal question? And I've asked this before, David, and I always forget the answer, so please excuse me. But if we are undergoing some sort of a variance or exception proceeding like what we're talking about here, it's really what we're saying is that it is the, it's whether we would, whether we'll support the our endorsement to the Central Valley Flood Board, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that the process it's going to be like? Is it basically like we need to, you'd have to apply for the variance or exception from us, and that would be the conditions under which we'd actually be given the endorsement to go to the Flood Board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just sort of make sure we're all on the same page. If you're going to do something on the levee, the Flood Board is going to want you to get a permit. Okay. They're going to look to the LMA, Local Maintaining Agency, i.e. us, to see whether we endorse it. Now, is that endorsement legally binding? No. Okay, so the Flood Board can say to Tim, nee, 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 nee. And
they also need to issue the permit too, right?
They could issue a permit over our objection.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is where things get most interesting. The usual situation, Steve, is we're working with the Flood Board permit, and we're looking to endorse some sort of encroachment. So you're exactly right. Now, what the board also needs to understand, however, is that you have authority under the Organic Act to prevent encroachments. Period. Done. You have then, under, if you're going down that branch, which we usually have not had to do because the two overlap, essentially, mm-hmm. is to say, we have a policy that you've adopted, and you can grant a variance from the terms of your policy. As Steve has alluded to, as a public agency, there are usual standards as to how you grant a variance. You know, you have a reasonable showing, you have to show this, that, or the other thing. Okay, and that's what you're beginning to talk about. But in the end, you could simply say, we are not going to grant you a variance for this project. They can take it to the Flood Board, and the Flood Board says, fine, 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 and then we would have the thing we've tried to avoid unsuccessfully, which is essentially a fight between ourselves and the Flood Board about jurisdiction. Because on the one hand, you have the Flood Board's jurisdiction, which is pretty broad, but on the other hand, you have a specific act, local district, that has been given authority by the legislature. And we've tried successfully to have them all work together, but if push came to shove, we would have that fight. Mm-hmm. And the question would be for you, you know, is it worth it, is it not worth it? The one time in that I can remember in the district's history when we began to have those discussions was a little bit more than 20 years ago on a development, and eventually things worked out, but we began to have those discussions. But that's probably more than you needed, but I hope that's
helpful.
Useful.
It's helpful.
So as I read through the particularly the red lines on the all the changes on page 2, I think it was helpful for me, and I hope it will be helpful for us, that and I know many of you have worked on this a lot more, including the committee, have worked on a lot more than I have, but just to put it through the construct of a hypothetical case study, or very realistic hypothetical case study, and that would be that the applicant or the interested party who wants to potentially do something different than what our policy is, i.e., put the bike trail on the crown of the levee, would, and that party being the city, would, and this should last and should apply to other parties, but in the near future, that's probably who the other party is going to be, is that from their perspective, as I read this, I think that Section 3, Part A, I think that makes perfect sense, and it's easy to understand. It strengthens the language that we have that's lined out that we had there before. However, as if I'm the city, then I would read through A and then immediately go to the second paragraph of A, and which is the variance, because that's, sure, this is their policy, but there is an opportunity for a variance. So go to that. And then the as far as the alternatives analysis, the engineering design, public meeting, 3 months of study time, these are all things that the city would already be doing, so they would satisfy all of that criteria. And so where I think the teeth is in this, and it also, I think where it satisfies what Steve is trying to accomplish as far as the meetings with the GM and other details being discussed with us before we give an endorsement, is that verbiage at the discretion of the district. So I'm wondering if that's strong enough, if that should be more detailed relative to what Steve wants, because I think in all of this, okay, just once again, and I'm not trying to be cynical at all, just very objectively, I'm the city, I want to put the bike trail on the crown of the levee. I look at this, okay, Section A, that's not what American River wants, but there is an opportunity for a variance. We've satisfied all this criteria, but it's at the discretion of the district, and then it's up to the board. So does that have enough teeth? That's, so I'm opening that up. I'm wondering, okay, do you guys think that has enough teeth?
Yeah, I actually thought about that myself. Mm-hmm. David, you're going to have to push me back because I'm doing kind of a belts and suspenders and hat kind of thing here. So, for example, the last underlined sentence of the first paragraph, trail must be immediately returned to the off-crown alignment, the first available reach, parens, at the discretion of ARFC. So that determination is our determination, not their determination. Okay, first available. So just, that's one. And then the other one was the second sentence of the second paragraph, the board expects the applicant to invest, blah, 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 invest and document at least 3 months study. And then going to your point, Cyril, on the last item I had on the second line to the last line, it would be at the complete discretion of the board. Really emphasize it. So I apologize for overthinking this, but I know David would dial me back if need be.
I won't dial you back. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I think in looking at this since our meeting, there's a big hole that I think may be in the policy, and it's one that Cyril has begun to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
I want to raise for the board here. Where the trails policy started was, it's on the crown unless you can convince us otherwise. It was really
simple.
That's
the message.
Yeah. Now what you're now what you've done in 3A is to begin to explain. Well, here's what you there needs to be. Okay. So if I'm cynical, and I'm like Cyril, and I think about the city, I say, okay, I can go through this pretty easily. And the and Cyril's point about the variance process is exactly right. Does the board, now that you're putting more meat on these bones, want to say, we will only grant a variance if the following conditions are met? Because when you leave it to your discretion, what I will tell you will happen is you'll have three council people coming in here and 100 people saying, you have to put the bike trail here or there or the other place. And that puts you in a very awkward position. Now, what the previous boards have done in this is to say we want to have as much discretion as possible and keep it as loose as possible. And that's a perfectly good strategy. But I want to tell you, if you're going to begin to put some more details in here, you should think about whether you want to have the criteria for when you would grant a variance. Because then when the city comes in, to use that example, you can say, well, you know, we'll grant you your variance if you can show X, Y, and Z. You haven't shown X and Z, and therefore...
Right. And so I encounter this in land use stuff all the time. And my thinking is... following up what you're thinking is rather than say we will grant the variance if blah blah blah, I think the message needs to be we will consider, only consider if it's A, B, C, D. And then it's still...
Okay, you have a legal problem then, okay? Because if you say that the conditions for a variance are A, B, and C, and then someone comes in with A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with D through X or whatever as reasons not to do it, that you're now open to legal challenge. And maybe we should talk about your land use problems, but
well,
it's done all the time, but legally you're now exposing yourself because you said these are the conditions we want. And if someone comes in and meets them, why are you denying?
So land use variance doesn't require the two state mandated findings that are granted, correct?
Correct.
But on a land use variance, the law basically says they can't approve it unless you can make these two findings,
mm-hmm.
and it is at the complete discretion of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... if we set ours up similar in terms of must meet complete discretion, does that prevent challenge? Because
yes,
on land use variances, you can't sue the jurisdiction for not approving the project. But you can have the project overturned because you didn't really make the findings.
You can. From the perspective of now the public agency,
mm-hmm.
complete discretion always has an implicit term, reasonableness. Reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, what I always say is the reasonable discretion of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
To just be very clear about that.
Yeah.
I would argue that a lot of the denials of variance are challenged. I mean, there's a lot of cases along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the typical way that they get challenged is, you said, here are the conditions for a variance. I met the conditions, you didn't give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually there's a dispute about whether or not those conditions were met.
Mm-hmm.
And there, on that factual determination, the courts defer to the land use agency, which is why a developer usually doesn't win those.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but that's the legal framework. I'm suggesting that may be the type of framework we want here. But then that requires us to come up with what are the conditions A, B, and C?
Mm-hmm.
And the threshold question for that is, do you want to go down this road at all? Or do you want to keep it vague? And there are advantages and disadvantages to the two. If you keep it vague, you keep your discretion.
Yeah.
Okay? And you keep being able to tailor whatever you want to do to the circumstances at hand. If you put conditions down, it's a much more defined system. And I heard Ray saying, for example, that's what you want. And, but it also limits your discretion,
right.
And it requires you to come up with these ahead of time.
Yeah, and, but what happened that the most recent issue on this was we kept hearing, you don't have any reasons to turn this down.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt
that's why I'm
that
raising
we
this. That's why I'm raising this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To that point, Brian, which I think is a very good point, I feel that we should be identifying the limited situations where we'd be willing to consider the variance. So, like, looking at the, and I still keep hearing from different city staff, like, boy, it sure would be cheaper if we just put the whole thing on top of the crown of the levee. Sure would be easy if we could just do that. And it's like, and that worries me, right? And they clearly do not put the same value on flood protection and safety that we do. But that's their problem. That's not really our problem yet. But looking at what went on with the Twin Rivers Trail, you know, like the area of it of where they were, are looking for the variance was because there was no landside nor waterside tow of the levee. Like that was really, you know, like it was impossible. There was no tow that's available to put the trail on it. And that's where we ended up, which I think is like, you know, like I think it's sort of a policy decision for this board. Are we willing? Is that sort of like if there is no tow or on either side, is that the occasion where we think that, you know, a variance should be granted, or do we or is it just one of the elements where we say we're not going to ever consider a variance to this unless you first show that there's no river waterside or landside tow that can hold your trail. And then you also have to show that it's financially feasible or impossible, or engineering, you know, impossible to build some sort of an alternative, and that there's no alternative places for this trail to go. I mean, I think that we can kind of go down that road.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could, I think, as a district, just flat out just say, you know, I don't think that it's ever appropriate to have a trail on the crown of the levee.
And I don't know if you can throw this criteria in, but one of the things that pushed me off the fence with the road, the trail on the crown, was also the fact that the neighbors that would be immediately affected by that physical intrusion visually into their garden, none of those people were complaining. It was people across the street who were the complainants. So that played, and I don't know how we could factor that in. The other thing is that physically those neighbors were protected, for the most part, from visual intrusion because there was a wall of heavy, tall vegetation that would block the view on the crown into those neighbors' houses. So that sort of real world impact,
mm-hmm.
it was helpful to me. And I don't know if we need to have that sort of, rather than just us and safety, do we need to take into consideration the impact on the immediate neighbors, ratepayers, who would be affected by the on the crown?
I don't know that goes into the policy, but I want to make a different point. Is that so? I've been thinking more about what David said about the criteria, and it sounds like some of the things that you'd like to see included in the policy could potentially be criteria, like no alternative, no reasonable alternative, and a couple other items that you had mentioned. And the more, as we have this discussion, the more, you know, we talk about it, and yeah, going back to the meetings that we had here regarding this issue, is that I don't see this policy, if this were in place as it's written prior to those last couple meetings, I don't see those meetings turning out any different based on this policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did have a policy, we can talk about a policy, but there's still the opportunity for the variance, and the city would, without even doing anything differently, would satisfy all of these criteria, and then it would be the we'd be having the exact same discussion, right?
I like how the last few meetings went.
Okay.
I think that went appropriately. Because the city went to an extraordinary effort to document that they tried to keep the trail off the crown, they did a lot of engineering, they did a lot of outreach, and then they came back to us and said, we just can't keep it off the crown. Would you consent to allowing it on the crown? Where this is, this that didn't take place is when the Sutter's Landing reach of the trail came through, And they didn't do the outreach, they didn't do the analysis, they didn't do the calculations, and they came to us at the 11th hour saying, please approve this because we're in a time crunch.
At the last hour.
So we're hoping this policy spells out a little bit more detailed what we're expecting, what level of engineering should they do so that they're more like the second case, or, you know, with the Two Rivers Trail, where they did a lot of engineering, they tried to put it on this, you know, cut in the slope, they spent a lot of money on it, they did multiple meetings. We want this policy to push applicants to be more like that approach, rather than the first approach, right, where they did a bunch of stuff behind closed doors, never told us, and then came to us at the last second.
So do you think this would encourage, or potentially even require, that the second scenario must be followed?
Yeah, right. I also really appreciate the way the city worked with us on the River Park section.
It gives us a reason to say, rather than to respond to, you have no reason to turn this down. Yes, we do have all these reasons. You didn't meet any of this criteria.
Yeah.
And you didn't do your homework.
So, I also like the idea of, I know that we might want to make sure we still have the ability, like, to kind of make discretion, because, like, every situation is going to be different. But I think it is really important, and I like the idea, honestly, when you suggested it, to, like, add more things, like, more details about, like, we say hold a public meeting, one public meeting, but, like, what does that mean? And I think, depending on the situation or whoever's in charge of the project, they could definitely kind of take that however they want. And I like the idea that they have to meet with our GM first, because, like, that also just even, like, helps us know about it. Like, then that way we're going to be informed about it. It won't just be coming at something where we're trying to get a special meeting or whatever.
We don't get surprised like Sutter Land.
Right, exactly. No surprise like that. And so I think that that's really important. And honestly, just asking for more specifics, I think I'm a little hesitant to say, giving them, like, if you do X, then that's what, you know, helps us get, like, that's what we're looking for the variance. But I think having, like, this is what we're looking for, I think would have even helped the city with their presentation, because I know that was part of our issue last time, was, like, we need this. And so, like, we had to go back and do that again. And so I think like, being more specific about what we want also makes it easier for them to make sure that they can present it to us in a way that will save, like, be the most efficient for everyone. And I like the idea of being specific about, like, who does public outreach, because, like, that's not something that our work does a lot, and so it's like, if someone is applying for it, they should be doing the public outreach, they should be making sure community knows about it, not us, because it's their trail. So I think I would really like to workshop some more ideas and more specifics on how we can do it. If it's a separate little application thing that we attach to fill out, like, that's great, but I just think it would be great to have something. And I do like the idea of, like, doing something like the city has, where they have this application that they require. I have filled those out, fill out for different permits, and it's like you're requesting us to approve, like, to kind of approve a permit in a way, like, not directly, but we're, like, helping you get a permit.
Right. In my world, if you're going through the checklist, the more items that you can't meet tells you asking for a special exemption makes it harder from the get-go. So if there's five criteria and I don't meet one, okay, I might ask for discretion on the one, but if I'm asking for discretion on four of the five, then it's clearly that your request is a bigger hill to climb and probably has less merit.
And it gives us something to lean against as a board as far as justification. It's not just our opinion or our feeling. This is why.
Yeah.
I would just, and I guess one thing though, however it's written, I wouldn't want the applicant or the public to feel as if, well, if they meet the three or the five criteria, whatever it might be, that, we meet the criteria.
You just automatically go to
the board. Unless the board is totally unreasonable, they must approve this variance.
Right.
So I definitely wouldn't want to give.
We've got to have language in it that makes sure that isn't the impression that comes across.
And just as a point of clarification, is that we're talking a lot about discretion, and I think a lot of the discussion has been about the board's discretion. But, you know, as it's written here, and I think this is a very important step, and I make sure we point this out, is that as it's written in this paragraph, it's the discretion of the district. So essentially, it's the discretion of Tim and staff to even get it to us, right? And then we, of course, have discretion once it's on the agenda as a board.
Oh, we said at the discretion of the district.
Here's a question for the board, and Tim may kick me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have a process whereby not only do you have to meet with the general manager, but the matter only goes to the board for consideration if the general manager, in his professional opinion and discretion, believes it meets these criteria?
Yes. That's a second buffer that would be helpful.
But what it is first of all, they got to meet with him. They have to convince Tim that this is meritorious.
Mm-hmm.
And only when Tim is convinced that it's meritorious, then does it come to you. And then you have your discretion. And
yes.
And it basically puts Tim in the hot seat. But that's appropriate. He's your GM.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way that a land use appeal would work? Is a planning commission denies something, if they want to appeal it to the council, you can't just automatically ask for an appeal to the council. It has to have enough merit at the staff level for them to appeal.
I've done it. Because you would appeal an approval if it was a condition you hated.
Mm-hmm.
But whether
it's an approval or denial, in order for it to get to the council level, doesn't have to be vetted.
No.
It doesn't automatically go.
But where the planning director have discretion is if that individual says the project is not complete, it's missing information, then they can keep it from going on up to the appeal.
Yeah.
Right.
I definitely like that, to make sure that have the application be deemed complete by the general manager. That's an essential part of this.
And merit hearing before the board.
But then this is the question about the appeal. If Tim says this doesn't merit going before the board, but the applicant says it does, they can't do anything else. I don't think it can die there, can it?
Well,
like, do we have to have an appeal?
That's the question I'm asking you guys. Let me try to be really clear, because your point is this is a good discussion. Oftentimes, in a planning or a permitting process, staff has discretion to deem the application complete. Once it's complete, it goes to the board or the planning commission or whatever it is. Okay. What I was suggesting is a little bit more rigorous,
mm-hmm.
And is difficult for Tim, but it's intended to prevent you guys from having to worry about this stuff, which is not only does Tim need to deem this thing complete, he needs to conclude that it satisfies whatever criteria there are, and therefore then it merits coming to the board. Now, to address Steve's question, that means it can die with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when we put this together, our policy will be pretty clear that it could die with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And so what then happens, suppose you don't have a general manager like Tim, who has got integrity up the wazoo, who's incredibly smart, et cetera.
Thank you, David.
Suppose you have a general manager who is, I won't pick any public figure, but you can imagine your own public figure, who's a bozo. Okay? And you have a bigger problem there. But Bozo, the general manager, denies this permit when it's clearly they've done everything they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And city, developer, whomever it might be, sues you. Okay, that's your risk. And like I said, because I don't think, in my experience with the board, you have had very good general managers. Anyone who's been here for any length of time, whether it's Paul Devereaux or Tim, is extremely good. And so I don't think it's a real risk, but you should think about that.
I'm comfortable with that risk.
So I actually wanted to ask Tim if he's comfortable with it too, because we're all talking about it, since it would be on Tim, and my brain goes, I like the idea of him deeming it complete, but there is a part of me that's a little hesitant to be like having it die with him, just because there's no appeal process, there's no way around it, and my brain's like, it could still just come to us, and we could also just, he could even say, I did review this, and he could give us...
We could put it on the agenda, I guess, even though...
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. That's kind of
what you could do, is, this is a slight modification, and it wouldn't be that difficult. Tim would be able... It wouldn't go to the board until it's complete. and then it would always come to the board with a recommendation to approve or deny.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tim says deny it, you guys are likely to deny it, and everybody knows that.
Right, and that's what I was thinking. I think that for me would make me more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter, it's like we're the ones doing the formal denying and anything like that, just because I think there would be some undue pressure, depending, like, because most of the agencies are coming to us are going to be like cities and groups like that. So I think it really should, that pressure of like the formal denial should come from us, and that's why I was.
I understand what you're saying. I want to push back a little bit because I'm going to give you an example where this might be an advantage for us as a board. Is, you know, once again, just playing this out. It's an application to city, and Tim deems that there's a completely feasible alternative. There's no reason for this to come to us as a board. So let's say that happens. Then the advocates that are in favor of it would then most likely end up calling us, many, whether it's council members or other active participants in city policy that we all have relationships with, as we should. They will say, well, you need to bring that to the board. You need to bring it to the board level. And I don't think if we do that, Ray, I don't think we're limiting our authority to bring it to us. We always have the ability to put it on the agenda and discuss it and decide that we want to endorse a variance permit. But once again, it gives us something to lean against, is that I can say, even though it's a council member who's a good friend or it's a city advocate who we've done a lot of work together and I respect, I can say, listen, Brian,
Tim's got to determine it's complete and meritorious.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I see the value in what you're saying, but I'm not comfortable, you know, overturning the discretion of our GM and going over his head in order to put it on the agenda. However, if I truly believe that we should be considering it, I can say, hey, Brian, can we put this on the agenda? Because I think these are the merits, even though Tim disagrees, these are the merits, we should consider it as a board. So I think it gives us more influence, not less.
With Sutter's Landing, they didn't care what the general manager thought. And so I want to put that buffer back in there.
And I definitely like want to care what Tim says, and I see how that would work. And like, yeah, we could always bring it up because we're the board, but I just, for me, it's like, part of it is like, I feel like the formal, like, this isn't, like, the formal denial should always come from us in the end. And so, like, I like the idea of, like, pretty much Tim recommends for us, you have to get his approval in a way, like, his recommendation or non-recommendation has to be given for that. And I think that it should always, like, I think we should always vote on something like that, because if someone's going to put in the effort to do the variance request, especially like once he deems it completed, like filled out properly, like that's a lot of work. And I do think, like for me, I just think it'd be important for us.
If they can't get Tim's okay, they have the right to ask us to call it up.
And David. Tim would need. Sorry, Tim would also. Sorry, David. Is that Tim would need? He would have reasoning as to why it's not. It's not coming forward, and there would be merits or there would be a lack of merit in the application if it's not coming to us. It wouldn't just be you willy-nilly saying no.
If it's a big enough project, I might be giving you updates on the status of their effort in my staff report, saying they've submitted this to me, it's not complete yet, but they're almost done, I anticipate having it on your agenda next month, or you could be apprised of how it's coming along or why it's not complete.
David.
Here's a way to try to thread this needle.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose we set up a process where Tim has first of all got to deem the application complete,
mm-hmm.
all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, Tim has got to essentially ride herd on the process, the public meetings, announcements, whatever you all decide you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tim then, and on all of those, we're very clear, until you get the application complete, until you go through the process, it will not come to the board, period.
Yes.
Then, after that, and time for Tim to ask more questions or do whatever his analysis is, then Tim brings this to the board with a recommendation, pro or con, with a sort of what you were talking about, Brian, with sort of a reason, whatever it would be. And what that does is it makes sure that people go through this process. And what it doesn't really get is Cyril's ability to say, you know, hey, not my decision. And I think that's where Cyril and Ray are differing from each other. Ray wants to say, we want to make those decisions. And Cyril's saying, it's nice to have that additional buffer. And that's the question you ought to talk about.
Yeah, I just like Tim to have the ability to say it's complete and that the request is meritorious in order to bring it to the board, everybody knowing that even if he says it's not, we could put it on the agenda.
And I agree, and I'll repeat what I said a moment ago, is that I don't think it limits our authority. In fact, I think it empowers us because it gives us the ability to prevent it from becoming, political or popular, what's popular, what's not popular. It's merit-based at the discretion of our professional general manager who deemed and that. So I have something to lean against and say, these are the reasons why, and as opposed to having it come to the board. But if I wanted to come to the board at the end of this meeting, I could say I think on the next agenda we should take up the levy on the crown. I'm sorry, the bike trail on the crown of the levy at our next meeting. Can we do that,
Steve? Yeah.
No, I see where you're going. I guess I agree that I'd like to have a GM recommendation. And I think that it'll kind of play itself out. Obviously, I guess I want to see exactly how it's going to roll out. But yeah, I think it's important to have the GM recommendation.
Okay. Right.
Clarification?
Yeah.
I hear all of the trustees saying you want a GM recommendation. But does it advance to the board only if there is a positive recommendation or not?
That would be my that or determination of meritorious.
Well,
probably not
thing.
Much difference.
Yeah. So in my estimation is that if at the staff level, Tim says, and it's not as if we wouldn't be apprised of this. We have this meeting summary. Tim's going to tell us what's going on, what they've been discussing, and in my opinion, this doesn't is not valid or does not have enough merit to advance to the board.
Mm.
And he could say that, and we could disagree. I think any individual trustee could disagree and ask for it to be on the agenda. But if we did that, he might put forward a staff recommendation that's, I think you should deny it. But
if it says it goes to the board only with a positive recommendation, it really puts the onus on the applicant to do everything that's required according to the criteria that we set up.
To really prove.
And in the application when we get there.
I think it, no matter what, having this be a more formal application process that we're trying to create will put a lot of onus, just because, I like the idea of having, you must have completed, the public outreach, the following things, even just to, we wouldn't talk about it if we didn't have all that complete. And so I still really like the idea of sees it, we should still,
I see both of those happening, though, because we're going to get your checklist of everything they have to do. I'm the guy that certifies that checklist is complete. But if any of it was not done by the applicant, it doesn't get my chop to go forward.
Right.
And if they say, it's not feasible because the trail width is only 11 feet wide and you require 12 feet, I'm going to say, sorry, I think you can do a little construction and get 12 feet here. Go back to the drawing board. I could send them back to the drawing board because their analysis wasn't thorough enough to get what we want done.
Yeah. And to more directly answer the question that you posed, David, is that no, I don't think, and I'll tell you why, Brian, is that now, no, I don't think that it can only come to the board if there's a positive recommendation from the GM. Because going back to that scenario, let's say all five of us as
here's
trustees.
Here's the way to get around.
Let me finish. If you don't mind. Let's say all five of us as trustees disagree with Tim's analysis and his findings, and we want it to be heard, or we feel, even though, maybe we do agree with Tim, but we feel that this needs to see the light of day and be conducted in an open public meeting in order to satisfy the public because they want to participate and we want to be sure that they're heard, is that I want Tim to have the ability to say, I recommend that we deny this variance, but we still have the ability to take it up. I don't want to, once again, I'm trying to empower us as a board, not limit our authority.
Does it help if it read that if Tim finds it complete and meritorious, only then does he put it on the agenda, which leaves it open for us? No, okay, never mind.
Brian?
Trying to thread the needle again.
Again, but here, based on what Cyril is just saying, I think there's a really straightforward way to handle this, which is that applicant works with Tim, and Tim is empowered to require, you know, that they meet all, they satisfy all these criteria, what we've been talking about, both the substance and the process. Tim then prepares a staff recommendation, and that if it is, if he deems it meritorious or, you know, suggests approval, that it'll go to the board, and the presumption it'll be on consent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because after all of this, you know, it just it's pretty straightforward. But then you have the final action by your board.
Okay.
That, but if his recommendation is to deny, then we put it on for action and full action by the board.
I like that approach. I agree with Cyril, and I think that that's a good way of approaching it.
And I need to go. So
okay.
To you.
All right.
Do we want to take a vote?
Are we taking action? Are we to provide direction for
workshop? I don't think we have action plans.
Question the comments by trustees.
And
no action.
More formal application process.
Yeah.
With criteria, we want. I think, and there may be some difference of opinion here, but I think a lot of us want Tim to have the discretion whether to. And I think that's what's written in blue
yeah.
here, is that the discretion of the district means Tim to put it on the agenda or not. And we just want to make sure that this has teeth.
One thing I did want to add was just that restate that the board, that the decision is by the board, and that they need to invest and document their public meeting outreach and all that.
So let's say part of this, the whole point of us doing it as a public meeting is because like we had known, like
so.
A few of us wanted
okay.
to, like besides people in the committee, wanted to make more comments so that we could discuss and, you know, Tamika and I might need to meet again. Now that we kind of have an idea, like, okay, like maybe we need to make an application so we can like work on that and we'll present it again, but this gave us an opportunity to do that.
One thing that I think that, to your point, Brian, about the, I think it's part of the application they should give it. We should say that there has to be at least one public meeting. We should ask their application to include a public engagement plan
mm-hmm.
that includes their public meeting. So I think that there's things that we can do so that we can, so that things will work out. And I think it also gives Tim, if they give this like completely silly plan,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'll go to the, you know, I'll do something that we know is not right. Tim can say, application is not complete. That's an inadequate public engagement plan. For a project this large, but it might be a project this little tiny project where, you know, that way you can maybe, we can cover it that way without being too prescriptive on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was just taking notes. I want to make sure that, like, I think that we have the substance here, and I think that really it's a matter of starting to figure out how to massage the words here, whether it's a wholesale, you know, reboot or like a, you know, like an edit. But what I'm kind of seeing is that we have. First, we'd state what the policy is, which is that you locate trails off the ground. That's the policy. Then we have to acknowledge that there could be situations that you can, where you would have to put it on the ground or you
right.
want to put it on the ground.
And why.
So then you have a variance process.
Mm-hmm.
And we can limit that with, you know, up front or not, but that would be limiting. But the process that I've heard is that we'd ask that they come in for a general manager pre-meeting. Before you file the application, you have to meet with Tim. And then you'd file your application, and we would be identifying, like Ray just said, all the elements of the application, the information you have to provide, how that, you know, what the, how it is, the, you know, how the information is provided. I mentioned a public engagement plan, which I think is important. I mean, it'd also be important to have a maintenance plan. Like, what's their plan to maintain the trail if it does go on the crown of the levee? You know, so we know about that. And then the application at some point is deemed complete. They've gone back and forth. Tim says, yes, we have all the information that the board has asked, so we can start processing it. Then they'd have to have at least that one public meeting in the neighborhood or however you want to require that. That would require some specific notice, you know, standards that we have in there. And then after that, you know, you kind of have all of your data together. unless we find there's other issues, we could ask for more data. And then that would result in the general manager's recommendation to the board.
And the general manager, if the general manager found it complete and appropriate, then he would put it on the agenda.
If the application would be deemed complete, and then what David was saying, which I agree, is that if it's a recommendation for approval, it goes on our consent calendar. If it's a recommendation for denial, it goes on a regular hearing calendar.
Okay.
Denial or acceptance, I would really personally don't think we should put any of them on the consent calendar, personally, just because I think if someone's doing these variances, no matter how much work they've worked with Tim, even though I'm sure he's been keeping us up to date, I do think that they should come to a formal presentation.
We have no right to pull anything off.
No, I know, but I'm just saying,
we've never put an endorsement on a consent calendar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Haven't even seen, our little endorsements haven't even been on that. I think it'd just be smarter not to.
The reason to put it on a consent calendar is you're waving a big carrot out here.
It's entirely up to you.
So I've run into this before, and if you get the manager's endorsement, then it goes on the agenda, but it's silent as to what happened if you don't get the manager's endorsement. And then you'd have to ask the board to put it on the agenda. I've encountered that before.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
And it's
I've seen it. It's, again, what can you get away with and what would I recommend?
Mm-hmm.
I think the better practice is to say, once you have a general manager's determination about good merits and demerits, it goes to the board. And then the question, and Ray's point is very well taken, that, it goes to the board for action. And there, the question is going to be, do you want to signal in your policy whether you wanted to say, if it's, as everybody knows, if Tim's proposing it, if Tim's supportive, it's going to get approved,
right, basically.
And conversely, if he's not, the odds of convincing you otherwise.
I'm convinced that putting the favorable recommendation on the consent calendar is a very nice carrot.
I've got a question, process. Is the consent item to approve the variance or to endorse the applicant's permit for the flood board? It's almost the same thing. We're kind of using them interchangeably because if you get a variance approved by the board, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to give their endorsement for your application. But are they one and the same?
Not necessarily.
Because we've never actually given a variance. There's no form. There's no, maybe a statement, maybe a motion that was approved that said you got a variance from our policy. But usually it's whether or not you get our endorsement on your permit application or not. Are we actually going to create a document that says you are granted a variance that would kind of ride along with the endorsement?
That's pretty much what I'm hearing. The trustees say that they want a form for a variance from our recreational trails policy.
Yeah.
So that the motion would probably be, let's assume it's tied up with a endorsement for the flood board permit. The motion would be to grant a variance to the recreational trails policy so as to allow the trail to be on the crown. And then related but different would be to endorse the encroachment permit.
Okay.
They're two separate actions here.
Okay, but they'd both be on the consent then.
Mm-hmm.
As the
carrot. Or not. I mean, that's a policy question for the board. I was trying to come up with ideas whereby you want to incentivize folks to work with Tim.
Right.
And that's up to you guys.
Yeah. And the consent calendar is an inducement, although any one of us could ask to be pulled off the consent calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
I guess, for
but
me,
it's, on its face, it looks like an inducement.
I guess for me, just saying that we're going to put it on the consent calendar just gives me a lot of pause, because I think something like that, no matter what, because we've even had the small ones, we asked them to come in, and I just think something like that. For the variances, because no matter what, it's going to be a big deal. I think we need it to just automatically have them assume that we're going to need a presentation. Because I think like by having it where it's not assumed that we, like by putting on the consent calendar, someone might say, oh, I don't need to be there, or I don't need to have like a presentation ready to give to, like I fear that someone might see that and be like, well, like it's on the consent calendar, even if they pull it, I could be there, but like versus like having a formal presentation.
Okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we send this back to Tim to bring it back to the board and for adoption, and of the discussion will be, and one item will be whether or not the director's, the manager's recommendation goes on the consent calendar or not. And I'd like to have everybody here to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the only thing that would be up in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's going to be more that's
no.
up in there.
Well, okay. Specifically.
I would like to also just say, like, I like some of the things we've gotten so far. I don't know if anyone else had other things to add. I'd like to actually add specifically on the engineering drawings. Like, I'd like us to add a percentage, not just engineering drawings, because I could make engineering
drawings.
We have it.
Yeah.
It's 30% preliminary drawings.
Yeah,
which
so
is pretty significant.
Yeah,
you've got to do some work to get to 30.
And I think, like, maybe if we have a few minutes before, like now, to like
Brian's
talk about
changes.
Maybe some more of the details, so
okay.
That way you could work on drafting it, and we, the policy
you
committee.
Have you have that ready.
And
those
and
are things that I thought would be helpful.
I think if we had an application checklist.
Right, and so that way we can, like, and the policy committee could pre-review an application checklist, and kind of like what we want to look, and then we could bring it back to the board again, I think would be really
if
great.
If you have any questions on this, Tim, I do this all the time.
I just, and the ones I circled on there, Ray, were the ones I thought were really would be helpful and germane to
yeah.
our discussion.
It sounds like, Ray, we should have a policy committee.
Just like a small
we
one to like,
yeah.
once we can, because like
make
we have
up
an
to
idea.
Speed.
Well, yeah, that, but we also have a decent idea of what we want to work on now, and so now, and I like, yeah, and I like all the ones you circled, so.
David, you had your heart.
And then that gives us
an
ability to kind of get together. Tamika and I can work on the more like meat and potato
yeah.
writing it, and then we
mm-hmm.
now that we have an idea, and we can bring it back to the board.
And one thing that drives me, and I identified this last board meeting, that I have a little
yeah,
bit of a hard time with this, where it says that they expect the applicant to invest 3 months' time. And I know that that was intended to sort of make sure that we don't have these things rush up on us, but identify that this is a process. But I think that if we're pretty clear on the process and what we expect, that the 3 months' time is actually going to be baked into that. Like, the, you couldn't rush it. So I'd feel, you know.
Suggest,
well, I, you know.
3 months, effort.
I think it's just like you must complete the action items on X application. Because,
yeah,
yeah, you have to meet with our GM. You have to get us 30% drawings,
uh-huh.
which right there, that's
public engagement plan. That'll give you a sense of the timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like you
yeah.
have to have a public meeting that meets all these specs. And for us, like I know one of the things is like public, you know, and like you have to 2 weeks out before like our, like
yeah,
you know, it's
if
like
it, if you start backing it up, you're like, you know, people must get notice at least you know 2 weeks before the public meeting, and then you have then you know they have to make sure that Tim has at least, you know, 30 days to consider all comments.
Did we talk about how far out the public notice goes?
Well,
no, we didn't.
Yeah. I think it was just like a suggested time. You had
yeah.
like 2 weeks. And I think that's like, I think
an
that's the
planning application is 500 feet.
Is it 500 feet?
Yeah.
But I think with the levies, it does have, you know, both the maintenance of those levies impacts a lot more people. And even if someone can't look into your backyard,
yeah.
if that levees are...
David, do you have a 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. So just I agree with Brian. I think that maybe if the city says 500 feet notice, I think we want 500 feet plus any neighborhood associations that cover
yes.
that
yeah.
area.
Yes.
I think that would be a good
okay.
notice.
So yeah, so right. Tamika and I will meet... And
so
we'll
we have direction.
Writing.
Thank you, David. We're good?
Yeah, thank you.
Any public comments? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.